Please keep your Bible open to Exodus chapter 2. Our text for this morning, good is good, bad is also good. Now this statement comes from Elder Hanson Juan, and it is really a restatement of Romans chapter 8 verse 28. That we have read just now, the responsive reading. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. All things work together for good. All things means all things. Good things, bad things. Happy things, sad things. Painful things, joyful things. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And so take note. Good is good, bad is good, but this is applicable only to those who love God. Do you love God? Do you delight in His Word? Do you worship Him? Do you keep His Word and obey His Word? Do you seek to live a life that is godly in His sight? To endeavor to walk in the straight and narrow way that leads to life? Do we love the Lord? And of course we love the Lord. And we love Him because He first loved us. He is our Savior. All things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to His purpose. And this is applied only to those who are chosen by the Lord. Elect ones, predestined by Him. And if you are called, called to be a child of God, called to be a servant of the Lord, then God has a good plan and good purpose for your life. And He will make sure that you not only have abundant life right now on earth, but also eternal, everlasting life forevermore. It is an eternal, everlasting life guarantee that God has given to us. If we love Him, if we are called ones, called out of darkness, to belong and to be found in His marvelous kingdom of light. So the first question we want to ask is, are we in His kingdom? Have we experienced His love? And do we manifest the love of Christ in our life? Do we love the Lord? And do we see that God has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light? We are truly chosen of the Lord, and we see evidence of that in our life. And if we see these things, then we are truly blessed of the Lord. We should be the most happy, the happiest people here on earth. Because God says, I have a good and perfect plan for you in your life, and nothing can go wrong. Yes, circumstances may not be well and good. I mean, we will meet trials and difficulties, temptations and sufferings and pain and much struggle in our life here on earth. Yes, this world is not right before God, and we are living also in this sin-cursed world. We'll suffer trouble, but regardless of the things that we go through, even evil and bad things that we go through, many evil circumstances around it will present themselves to us, and we have to earnestly contend for the faith, battle for the truth, struggle with sin, and despite all these things, God says, every single thing that happens in our lives will end up for our good and will finally redound to the glory of God. And everyone will praise His name for it. And God has a good plan and purpose for our life. And so we rest secure, eternal life guarantee, without doubt and without question. And we see this, dear friends, in the history and in the life of the nation of Israel. And Israel is God's chosen nation. And the very fact that throughout all these centuries, all these years, and despite the fact that Israel went through a lot of ups and many downs also, God is still protecting and preserving the nation of Israel until today, proves His promise to be true. Good is good, bad is also good. And Israel went through many bad patches, for sure. But it is still alive. It is still surviving. And God still has a plan for Israel. God has not cast Israel away, despite the fact that Israel crucified her Messiah. God is always faithful. Although His people may be unfaithful and faithless betimes, yet He will chastise them. For those whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. He will purify us, He will sanctify us, and ultimately He will fulfill His good plan for us. And this we see in the nation of Israel on many occasions. If you study the Old Testament, and the fact that Israel today still exists is one good evidence of that. And in this particular episode, we see how all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. We thank God for the many faithful, godly saints and servants of the Lord in the life, in the history of Israel. We think of the father of the nation of Israel, Abraham, who is called a friend of God because he was a man of faith. And then we think of David, Israel's greatest king, and how he was called a man after God's own heart. So God has a good plan for the nation of Israel, and the life of Israel and the pilgrimage of Israel reflects our own life and our own pilgrimage on earth. So how did all things work together for good for the nation of Israel? Now let us consider the events that are recorded here. Right? Firstly, we know that Israel has a good past. We're going to talk about the past and the present, as well as the future of Israel. Now, Israel has a good past. And that we find in Genesis chapter 12. All right? Now, if you turn back to Genesis chapter 12, you have to look into the context of Exodus chapter 2, which goes back to Genesis chapter 12. The covenant that God made with Abram, right? And in Genesis 12, verse 1 to 3, we read, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto the land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So that was God's covenant, or God's promise, to the nation of Israel, through Abram, whom God had chosen, called out, and God promised Abram, "You will be a great nation, and I will give you a promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey." And God has never forgotten His promise or His covenant. In fact, God has kept every last word and bit of His promise to the nation of Israel. But, you know, that pilgrimage that Abram had to take, that Israel had to take, was a long one, fraught with many, many dangers and difficulties and troubles. And this we can see in the life of Joseph. You remember Joseph? God gave this covenant not just to Abraham, but later on to his son Isaac, and then later on to Jacob, whom God renamed Israel. And Jacob had 12 sons. Right? And one of them was Joseph. And you know the story of Joseph, don't you? What a wonderful story of God's special providence. And you can read the whole story from Genesis chapter 37 to chapter 50. And we see how Jacob loved Joseph very much, his favorite son of all the other sons. Joseph was Israel's most favorite. And he made for Joseph a coat of many colors. But the brothers all got jealous of him, and they hated him, and they wanted to kill him. But the Lord worked it in such a way that they did not manage to kill Joseph, but they sold him into Egypt. And how Joseph in Egypt became a slave, and then later on, because of false accusations, was cast into prison, and he suffered there. And Joseph must have been wondering, where is God in all these things that I'm going through? But Joseph never questioned the Lord. And although in such dire straits and difficult times, going through much suffering, sold away by his brothers, betrayed, and by a false accusation now cast into prison, he never ever complained against God, but was very patient to wait on the Lord, because he knew his God and God, what God would do, right, for him in his life, and not only for him, but also for his people, the nation of Israel. And it came a point in time when he was promoted. And Pharaoh at that time had a dream, and no one could interpret his dream but Joseph. God gave to Joseph the wisdom to interpret the dream. Of course, God gave that dream to Pharaoh. And the dream had to do with how the land of Egypt and the surrounding lands will be struck with famine, 7 years of famine. But before the 7 years of famine, there will be 7 years of plenty. And Joseph told Pharaoh, this is what is going to happen. How can Egypt be saved? In the 7 years of plenty and of prosperity, make sure you save. You store up. You show up for the 7 years of famine. And that is good advice. It was very wise advice. And the Lord did all these things, not only to save Egypt, but predominantly it was to save the nation of Israel. And how we thank the Lord also, don't we, for wise government that we have all these years. People have worked very hard, and now we have a lot of reserves, right? We don't spend or overspend, but whatever we have, we put it into the bank, lock it up, so that if we have a need to use them on a rainy day, we have that money to fall back on. So that was basically the advice, right, that Joseph gave to Pharaoh. Now, presidential elections coming up. Who has the safest hands to protect these reserves? Well, you have to decide for yourself. I'm not going to say anything. All we know, who is going to be the next president? All we know is he is going to be President Tan. Right? That's all we know. And so Pharaoh had to make a decision too. Who is going to help me, right, protect all these reserves and govern the nation of Egypt, and then to make sure I continue to be prosperous? Well, the best person must be Joseph. The Lord has given him such wisdom. And so Joseph was made prime minister of Egypt, second only to Pharaoh in terms of power and authority. How God promoted him. And why did the Lord do all these things? It was a bad situation, wasn't it? For Joseph. And it was going to be a bad situation also for Israel. Because they were in the land of Canaan. And it was going to suffer famine. And the whole family of Israel risked extermination and death because of the famine. How is God going to protect and preserve them? God had already thought of this years ahead and had prepared Joseph, right, and Egypt to be a safe haven and refuge for his people, his chosen nation. And Joseph had to go through tremendous suffering, right, to reach that stage where God would use him. But God had all this planned out already. And Joseph had good theology. He knew his God. He knew his word. So that at the end of it all, right, when his brothers came to Egypt for help because there was famine, who was the one who could help them? They came to face with their own brother whom they had sold into Egypt. And he was the one who had the power now to save them and to save the whole family. And Joseph knew his theology. Joseph gave glory to God. We know this in Genesis chapter 50. You turn to Genesis chapter 50, a few chapters back, all right, the last chapter of Genesis, and look at what Joseph said to his brothers. Genesis 50, verse 19 and 20. All right, shall we read this together, these two verses? Genesis 50, verse 19 and 20. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Not just the Egyptians, but also, and more importantly, the Israelites, God's chosen people. Yes, good is good, but bad is also good. The evil that he thought to do to Joseph, God turned it around and made it into something good. Of course, what the brothers did was very wrong. All right. And there are consequences to the evil things that people do, the sin that people commit. God will hold them accountable. There are consequences. But if we belong to the Lord and we are in His good plan, He can intervene in a miraculous way. He has things all planned out, and evil circumstances that arise in our lives, God can use it and move events in such a way. He has already planned all these things way ahead of time to finally protect and preserve us so that we know He is working, right? We know that all these things, the salvation that we have obtained, come from Him and Him alone. And we don't get any glory. We have nothing to boast about. It is all His work and His will that is being done. And Joseph knew this very well. I am no one, right? And you did evil. You are accountable. God will deal with you. But this God meant it for good. Right? He rules and overrules. He intervenes to fulfill His purpose in our lives. And we are found always in His good plan, His redemptive plan. We'll finally get to our final destination that God has promised us, the promised land. And Israel must finally get into the promised land. They are not there yet. But they are going there, and God will make sure that they will reach there no matter what happens in their life and in their pilgrimage. So, dear friends, are you going through difficult patches in your life? And sometimes you wonder where God is. God is always there. He's always present. Never doubt that He is very near. But you must make sure, right? You love the Lord. You're walking in His way. You're always seeking Him in His Word. You always trust in Him. And you have a delight to do that which is right according to His sight. And you know you are born again. You know you are a child of God. You are chosen by the Lord. And then if you have this knowledge, know for sure whatever happens in our lives, whether good or bad, ultimately will lead to our salvation and to the glory of God. Okay? And this we find in this part of Israel's life and history. And now at the present moment, all right, in Exodus chapter 2, it was another dangerous situation, bad situation. Exodus chapter 1, verse 8, we read of a new Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. Right? It says here, now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph, had no regard for Joseph, or the people of Israel. And this Pharaoh felt very threatened by the nation of Israel. A very dangerous situation right now. And at one point in time, right, the Israelites were dwelling safely in Egypt. They were prospering. Now, things took a 180-degree turn. Now they had become slaves under the reign of this new king. In great bondage, suffering greatly. In verse 12 we read, this new Pharaoh, what did he do? Well, he made them into slaves and used them, all right, to build all his grand pyramids. And verse 12, but the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied. Right? The more the Egyptians afflicted the Jews or the Israelites, the more the Israelites multiplied and grew. And this Pharaoh thought that by pressing down and suppressing the nation of Israel, making them slaves, they'll become weaker and weaker. But the opposite is true. Why? Because there's a God in heaven. And this God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Israel is God's chosen nation. And man may think to do you evil, but God will protect and preserve you. And he thwarted Pharaoh's program. And the more the Egyptians afflicted the Israelites, the more they multiplied and grew. Opposite effect. Right? They didn't become weaker and weaker, lesser and lesser. They became stronger and stronger. The more, you know, intensive the labor heaped upon the Israelites, the more babies they produced. That's remarkable. Who did all these things? Who gave Israel the strength? Must be the Lord God Himself. The same way in church history, you know, in the first four centuries when the church, the early church, was sorely and severely persecuted, many died for their faith, burned at the stake, torn apart by lions, crucified even. The more the Roman Empire tried to destroy the church, the more the church grew. Tertullian, the church father, says, the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Why? Well, because God had already promised. God had chosen His elect. And no matter what men may do, His promise must be fulfilled. He will protect His people. God cannot fail. You fight against God, you will lose. And so this was what happened. And when Pharaoh saw that the nation of Israel grew even more powerful and more populous, right? The population increased. What did he plan to do next? Well, of course, he had a murderous program. He introduced a murderous program that all the babies, right, the male babies of the Israelites must be killed and destroyed. The girls are spared, but the boys all must be executed, right, must be killed. Now this we read in verse 22. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born, ye shall cast into the river, son of a Hebrew, right, of the Israelites. Every son that is born, ye shall cast into the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. So again, a very dangerous situation, threatening to exterminate the entire nation. Can that be done? Yes, that can be done. But if God is for us, who can be against us? We read in Romans chapter 8. Because God was with Israel, no plan of man can ever succeed, no matter how clever and cunning that plan may be. God is still on the throne. He's in control. If God be for us, who can be against us? That's why good is good, bad is also good, because God is good and He's in control and will turn the evil around. He can intervene and can save with a miraculous hand. And that was what the Lord did. And so what happened was, it was time for the birth of a deliverer. I mean, the people were now in bondage. God already heard their cries and was preparing a deliverer for them. And it was this son that was born to a Levitical family, to the tribe of Levi. In verse 1 we read, and chapter 2, Exodus 2, verse 1. And there went a man in the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi. The Levitical tribe later on became the priestly tribe. Okay? And Moses came from this tribe. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. So they were in a presently bad situation, very bad. But God had planned for them a very bright future. Right? And God knows the end from the beginning. And now He gives to them this special child, a son that was born. In a most what? Terrible time. A time when Pharaoh wanted to kill all the male babies. Of all the times. Why this time? I mean, you would think that God would choose a time, all right, for Moses to appear in a time of peace and prosperity and no danger, but that's not how God works. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. You see, God wants to do something that will show His power. He's a God of the impossible. He wanted the Israelites and the Egyptians also, the unbelievers, to know that He is fully in charge and in control, no matter what happens. And so in such a situation, Moses was born. You think he would be killed, right? But no, he was preserved alive. And we see God's special providential hand at work over here. How? In what way? Well, let's look. See how God intervened in a marvelous and miraculous way by special providence to keep this child alive. And God had chosen Moses already from before the foundation of the world, not only to be saved, but to be His servant, to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, right? So God is going to fulfill His plan, no matter what, how man might try to thwart it, right, and destroy it. Can never be done. And so here, we find that when Moses was born, he's described as a goodly child, right? A goodly child. Verse 2, and the woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. So this child had some special attractive features that cause his mother to pay attention. There's no ordinary child. God gave her the discernment. It's a special child. God has a special purpose for him. So I better protect and keep him. Right? That's a goodly child. And so we find the face of the woman over here, Moses' mother. We'll see more of her faith later on. And also, not only this providential act, right, of giving a goodly child, but since they are in this very dangerous situation where all the male babies, all right, would be killed and executed, cast into the river, and when she found that she could not hide him anymore, well, she had to let him go. But I believe, right, the mother of Moses here knew the Lord, her God, that God has a special plan for this goodly child, something special about him, granting her the discernment to see this. She did her best to protect him and save the life of this child. And when she could no longer do it, well, she practically said, Lord, you must now take over. If you have a special purpose for this child, now you must take over. Yes, we do what we can. We do our best. What we can do, we do. And what we cannot do, God will take over. God will do. And so she, in verse 3 we read, and when she could not longer hide him, she took from him an ark of bulrushes and covered it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flax by the river's brink. Right? She was going to send him away, put him in this basket, and send him down the river now. Now this, of course, many things can go wrong. Right? As you know, the basket could spring a leak and the baby would be drowned. I mean, it can be a bad situation, a dangerous situation. Or the baby could be eaten by the crocodiles. I mean, the Nile is infested with crocodiles. All these bad things can happen. But if you are called by God, chosen by the Lord, God has a plan and purpose for your life, these things are nothing. He will make sure you are protected and preserved, no matter how dangerous the situation may be. Right? And that was what happened. Well, the baby was kept safe, and the remarkable thing was, as the basket containing the baby Moses, the baby drifted along the river, I mean, it could go any which place, but the Lord directed, the Lord from above must have directed, right, the basket to reach a particular and a specific person. Not anyone, but this particular person. And interestingly, who was this person? Now you look at verse 5. It says here, and the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flax, she sent her maid to fetch it. And you may say, of all the people, Pharaoh's daughter, good or bad? If the baby was found by Pharaoh's daughter, good or bad? According to our own human perspective and reasoning, it would be bad, isn't it? Because Pharaoh had already given the decree, all Hebrew babies, male babies, to be what? Killed, destroyed. Now it's like a lamb led to the slaughter, Pharaoh's daughter. Surely, finish, right? That's the end of Moses' life. Of all people, why Pharaoh's daughter? But you see, again, God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And it is God's good providence that Pharaoh's daughter should find the baby. And God can move the hearts of princes as well as princesses to perform his good will and pleasure. And that was what happened. So over here we find, all right, Pharaoh's daughter, having discovered the baby, and then the baby began to cry. All right, the babe wept, and she had compassion on him. Wonderful. I mean, here, of all people, Pharaoh's daughter. I mean, when she opened the basket and saw baby Moses, she could have responded, "Oh, what an ugly baby!" Right? Or so smelly. Get rid of it. And then Hebrew somehow. She knew it was a Hebrew baby, not Egyptian. Right? Because we know from verse 6, this is one of the Hebrew's children. She knew the decree, right, to kill all the male infants. But the Lord moved her heart, and she had compassion on him. So the features, the attractive physical features that Moses had, God blessed him with. He must be a very cute one, right? Cute baby. And then, at this juncture, she had compassion on him. This is one of the Hebrew's children. And then the Lord moved her to save him. And then Miriam, all right? Moses' sister was at a distance, trying to see what would happen to her baby brother, put in the basket. And then when she found that it was Pharaoh's daughter that picked the basket up, she went, all right, to Pharaoh's daughter and said to her, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" Verse 8, "And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, Go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it." You see, God's special providential hand and care over the nation of Israel and over Moses. You find the faith of Moses' mother also sending, right, the basket away. "Lord, this is a goodly child. You have a special purpose for him. I've done my best. Now he is in thy hands, and you must work now to intervene and to save this child." And look at how God did it, the most miraculous and wonderful way, marvelous way. I cannot help but realize it is God working. The basket, baby Moses should reach Pharaoh's daughter herself, and she had compassion on this baby. It was certain death for Moses. And we think that it was certain death, all right, since he fell into Pharaoh's daughter's hands. But no, God turned it around. So much so that now Pharaoh's daughter told Moses' mother, all right, "This child, you take and nurse it, all right, for me. Nurse him for me. Take care of him. And not only nurse him for me, I will pay you for it." How God provides. How God is a God of providence for his people. In a situation which was hopeless, full of danger, full of death, came what? A situation full of life, full of hope, full of promise, and added blessings also. Now I can keep the baby. The baby is protected. And then I'm also paid by Pharaoh's daughter herself to take care of the baby. When her father wanted to kill the baby, now God turned everything around and used Pharaoh's daughter to save the baby. Surely you see God's hand in this, right? God moving events in a most wonderful and marvelous way. And so, good is good. Bad is also good. If we belong to the Lord and we are found in his plan and his good purpose, we belong to his kingdom, we belong to his family, he is our Father above, we are his children, and we take a delight in our God and in his word, and we do our best to serve the Lord, love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and when we give ourselves over to the Lord in this way, and we are called to be his child or to be his saint or servant, bad things will also become good for us. And all will redound, will lead and result in the glory of God, that both believers and unbelievers can see Yes, God is on the throne and he is in control. And I'm glad I'm just found on his side. Because those who are not found on his side, who are against him, they try to destroy God's work, God's plan, God's people. They will find themselves to fail miserably, and in the end, they themselves will be destroyed. But if we are on God's side and found in his good plan and purpose, we will always, always be protected. Although the circumstances do not seem like it, right? We have to continue to have faith and trust in the Lord. And our pilgrimage towards heaven is like this. Our pilgrimage on earth towards heaven is like this. We will go through all these trials and testings. Good circumstances and evil circumstances will come our way. And God allows all these things so that we might live by faith, not by sight, trusting and depending on him day by day, hoping always in him. And then he will teach us more and more of himself in our lives through not just the scriptures, but through our personal experience, right? As we walk with him, as we pray to him, as he hears our prayers, comforts us and guides us through his word. And then our pilgrimage will be a great adventure, very exciting. Things that seem hopeless, God makes it to be full of hope. I think one good episode and one good incident would be the Far Eastern Bible College. Yes, there are those who try to destroy the college and the testimony of the college. But what did God do? There are times I thought it was a hopeless situation, no hope. What can we do? We are so small and so weak, and those who are against us are so big and powerful. How? Well, the Lord leads and guides, gives wisdom through his word, and comforts us when we pray to him. And step by step, he leads us. And then, now he has saved us and delivered us. It's like, to me, it was like the parting of the Red Sea. When now FEBC rests secure, that's birthplace and home that the Lord has given to us. And God is true to his promise. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. We see God's special providential hand. Not anything that is good in us, but everything that is good in God himself. That he is a faithful God. He is faithful that promise. And the promise he gave to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to the nation of Israel, I've chosen you. From you will come you will become a great nation. I've given you the promised land. No matter what happens, these things will be fulfilled. And out of the nation of Israel will come a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will die for our sins, according to the scriptures. And he was buried on the third day, rose from the dead, that we might live. And through him, the nations of the world can be blessed, so that they might know who is the living and true God, the only mediator of the world, Jesus, who died for our sins and rose from the dead. You believe on him, you have not only abundant life here on earth, but eternal life forevermore. What a wonderful thing. Have you believed in this God? If you have believed on this God, you loved him as he has loved you, and you know you are called according to his purpose, you have a good plan. God will fulfill it. God has never, never failed. And you can see all this through the life and the history of Israel. And this is a reflection of our life here on earth, as we walk the pilgrim way towards the promised land, the land of Israel. Do you understand? Is this not a doctrine of hope? Great hope. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Good is good. Bad is also good. All to the glory of God. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank thee so much for this truth that comes from thy word. This good doctrine, a doctrine of thy providence, thy sovereignty, thy faithfulness, and thy power. Help us always to believe and trust in Thee, never doubt or question Thee, even when we are going through difficult times, because we know You are on the throne, You are in full control. If we have walked astray, we just pray for Thy forgiveness, and we want to repent of our ways and live rightly, so that we might always be found in Thy good plan. So fulfill Thy purpose, O Lord, in our lives, and lead us safe home to the promised land that You have promised us. And we know that Thou art a God who is faithful and true, and will always keep His words and His promises. We bless Thee, we praise Thee, we glorify Thee. In Jesus' name, Amen.